You're listening to SBS News.
Just hours after top US officials made a risky and secretive visit by train to Kyiv, Russia renewed its attacks on Ukraine's infrastructure by striking five railroad stations across the country. US Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin says the United States is working to weaken Moscow's capabilities to carry out such attacks.
We want to see Ukraine remain a sovereign country, a democratic country, able to protect its sovereign territory. We want to see Russia weakened to the degree that it can't do the kinds of things that it has done in invading Ukraine.
Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky has echoed those sentiments, calling on Ukrainians to do everything they can to make the presence of Russian troops in their country intolerable.
When victory comes, everyone will feel it. When peace comes, everyone will see it. But in order to make it happen and happen sooner, we must think not about when and what it will be. We must think every day about how to make the presence of the occupiers of our land even more unbearable.
The visit by US officials comes as the country pledges to reopen its embassy in Kyiv next week, with the gradual return of US diplomats to the country and an additional $984 million worth of aid. President Joe Biden has nominated veteran diplomat Bridget Brink as the new ambassador to Ukraine, finally moving to fill a crucial position that has been vacant for nearly 3 years. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who accompanied the defense secretary to Ukraine, says this war is one that Russia cannot win.
Russia has already failed, and Ukraine has already succeeded because the principal aim that President Putin brought to this, in his own words, was to fully subsume Ukraine back into Russia, to take away its sovereignty and independence. And that has not happened and clearly will not happen.
Meanwhile, Ukraine's foreign minister is urging the United Nations Secretary General to press Russia to allow an evacuation of the besieged port of Mariupol. UN Chief Antonio Guterres is meeting with the Russian government in Moscow today and with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Kyiv later in the week. Ukraine Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba has expressed concerns about the meeting's schedule.
The strategy here is this. The UN Secretary General, the fact that Russia agreed to receive him, can mean two things. First, it's a trap for him, diplomatic trap. As many other foreign officials were trapped visiting Moscow and played around just to show the supremacy of Russian diplomacy and how great they are and how they dictate the world how to behave. So this may be a trap, and I do not exclude that. But I count on the wisdom of Secretary General to escape that trap and actually to prevail in this situation.
Farhan Haq, deputy spokesman for Mr. Guterres, says the UN chief plans to negotiate some form of ceasefire and an improved humanitarian situation.
We're coming at a fairly delicate moment. It's important that he is able to talk clearly with the leadership on both sides and see what progress we can make. Ultimately, the end goal is to have a halt to fighting and to have ways to improve the situation of the people in Ukraine, lessen the threat that they're under, and provide humanitarian aid towards them.
But Mr. Kuleba says Mr. Guterres needs to focus on the more specific issue of evacuating Mariupol.
And our request to him is instead of focusing on broad issues like full and comprehensive ceasefire, which is important, but we see what Russia does on the battleground, it's simply not feasible, he should focus primarily on one issue, evacuation of Mariupol. This is really something that UN is capable to do. And if he demonstrates political will, character, and integrity, I hope that will allow us to make one step forward.
But Russia's deputy ambassador to the UN, Dmitry Polyansky, says these evacuations are already occurring.
So we don't think that ceasefire is a good option right now, because the only advantage it will give possibility for Ukrainian forces to regroup and to stage more provocations like Bucha, like I called to you. So frankly, it's not up to me to decide, but I don't see any reasons in this right now. Everyone who wants to get evacuated, for example, from Mariupol, has the opportunity to do so because we open humanitarian corridors.
But that's not what humanitarian groups are seeing. CEO of World Vision Australia, Daniel Wordsworth, and his team are currently on the ground in Ukraine. He told SBS humanitarian efforts are shifting to the southern and eastern regions of the country as more refugees flee from the port city of Odessa.
Well, there are effectively no humanitarian corridors. And this is an absolute, this is the critical point. If you, you know, in these cities that are under siege, like Mariupol that we've been hearing about, we've got to be able to get civilians out of those places safely. Otherwise, they're just stuck there. And that's not occurring right now. And so I know the UN is working on this. It's absolutely critical that safe corridors be open so that families can get out of those areas and organizations like World Vision can then serve them.
In Kharkiv, volunteers are helping citizens evacuate as Russian bombardment of the region continues. Among them is Julia Nomorovska, who until now has had no chance to leave.
We have not seen people for 2 months, generally not seen from the world at all, besides our neighbours. People sit quietly on benches, people calmly breathe the air, people see greenery. We didn't see it for 2 months. Very difficult.
All this as the conflict enters its third month. Brooke Young, SBS News.